I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored.
You may have done what they said you did, but
they are magnificent,
marvelous. You need to know that you're okay just the way you are.
Succeeded
in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
Love on a mission in a world where human experience is lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. I am so excited about this episode. We're going to be talking about friendship. Friends are so important for all of us. We need to be able to have people in our lives that we consider to be friends. And so I have with me, and I will introduce them to you after a few things that I want to share, my really two daughters, my daughter Hannah, who is my oldest daughter, and not a biological daughter, but a daughter indeed, Katrina. And they're both going to be talking about their friendship that they've had over many, many years. And I wanted them to come because I believe that they depict a friendship that has endured many, many challenges and has also been so durable and refreshing and significant. And so we're going to hear from them shortly. And as I think about friendship, I think about some of my own friends. I have a friend, Sarah, who I have known ever since I was in the ninth grade. And it's just so refreshing at this time in my life, in my 50s, that I can still get together with her. And she is a person who knew me when I had my very first boyfriend, when I had my very first breakup. She knew me when I got sun poisoning so badly that I just had blisters all over my face. And she rebuked me and told me that I was being dramatic. And she was with me when I got married. She was with me when I had both of my children. Our husbands know one another. Our children know one another. And there's something so comforting about a person who has known you through the years. And I think about the fact that I reconnected with a friend named Pina, actually, who I hadn't seen since the end of middle school. And we had dinner together recently. And we talked about the significance of that friendship and how after years of my negative experiences in elementary school, when I finally graduated onto middle school, I met her. And she made my years in middle school just so dynamic. We had a precious, precious friendship. And then we went to different high schools and kind of lost touch. But when we got together recently, we were able to celebrate the years that we had with one another that were such a precious time during the middle school years. And I also celebrate the friendship I have with my husband. I celebrate the friendship I have with my daughters. And I celebrate the friendships all through the years that I have cherished. And friendships are not always affirming, right? Some of them have really just an expiration date to them. Some of them are not the most beautiful experiences, but yet they're important to us. And I'm thinking about in Mark 8, when Jesus was approached by a blind man who begged Jesus to heal him. Jesus touched him. He actually spit on him and touched him and put his hands on him and asked him afterwards, "Do you see anything?" And the blind man said, "I see people, but they look like trees." And so he did the same thing again and touched him again. And the man's eyes opened and his sight was restored and he was healed and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus said to him as he left that place, "Don't even go into that village where you came from." And I remember that scripture striking me because I'm like, here we are so excited. We have a blind man that can see. But it was so significant for Jesus to mention, don't go back in that village. And I often thought about, well, what was that village all about? Who lived in that village? What were the voices in that village? Were they voices of criticism? Were they people that saw him as perpetually blind? Were they people that caused him to always be in this place of a disability? And so sometimes I think we need to really take a look at that. What is the village in our lives? What are the people? Who are the people in our lives that have not affirmed us, that have not brought us to a place where we can feel better about ourselves, but that have really caused us to be diminished in what we think about ourselves? And when I was thinking about friendships, I went through the book Humans by Brandon Stanton, which many, many of you know about. You know, there's stuff on social media and there's books. And I was going through the photos of some of the friends. And on one particular depiction of two elderly women on a park bench who were interviewed, they said, We don't have any hobbies, but we try to get together a few times a month to judge people and complain about things. And I laughed about that because I thought that it was really funny to be with somebody that you really enjoy being with. You don't really have an agenda, but you can just complain about things or you can talk about people that you see. It just made me laugh because you have to really know somebody well to feel safe enough to be able to do that. And then I saw two men in their 40s playing chess on plastic chairs outside of a work site surrounded by paint cans. And they were in South Sudan. And they said, the thing we need most is security. Without security, nothing works. We are only out here playing chess because right now in this place, we have a little bit of security. But that's just for right now. Just this moment in this country, things have never been secure for this long. And I think about the fact that friendship, a lot of times, you know, there are moments when we just feel safe and secure to really be who we are and to just be out in the open, specifically the way that we are and who our personality is without feeling judged. And then there were two 13-year-old boys who were standing by a moped, and they had one had his arm around the other's shoulder, and they said, he tried to take a social studies test for me once, but we got caught because he wrote his own name down. And this was from Iran. And I thought that that was funny, too, because even in them trying to pull something over their teacher's eyes, they were able to laugh about this situation. And it made me think about the lighter parts of friendship, how in a serious, serious world and life that we have, to be able to have a friend that we can just be able to breathe with, we can exhale from everything and be in their presence. And so, you know, one of the things I'm always saying in some of my counseling sessions are that friendships are with individuals and not groups. And that's where a lot of people really go south when they're struggling in friendships, because they tend to want groups of friends. And there's nothing wrong with having groups of people come together, but you have to understand that those friendships are with the individuals within the groups, and that friend groups can have dynamic shifts all the time. A new person joins, the dynamic shift. A former person leaves, the dynamic shifts. Two people within the group start dating, the dynamic shifts. Other people start dating someone outside of the group, and now their affections are outside of the group. The dynamics of the group shifts, and you will find yourself many times feeling like you're on the outskirts of a group of friends. And so to me, I will always say, make sure you're committed to the person. Have individual relationships with the people, because those are the ones that will really have roots. And some friendships are just contextual. They're defined by a context. We're in college together, or we're in high school together, or we work together, or we go to the gym together. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to understand that the roots to those friendships are not as thick as the roots that are in the friendship that we're going to be talking about today. Friendships can be life-giving. They can be contextual and situational. They can be high maintenance. And those are the friends that you kind of avoid being around a lot because you know that they suck the life out of you. You love them, you like them, but they suck the life out of you. They also can be unpredictable. Sometimes things change and you can't always rely on them, and they can be toxic. But my hope for all of you is that you will be able to have life-giving friendships, that you'll be able to have a Sarah in your life that you can know is a person who has been with you through the test of time and loves you and is there for you and can tell you when you're being a little dramatic at times, or can have those hard conversations with you and you with them. And so with that, I want to introduce Hannah and Katrina, and I want to ask the both of you, how long have you been friends?
Hello, this is Hannah. We basically have a debate that's ongoing about when we became friends, because in our vague memory, we were in a choir together that I think we were maybe 6 years old. But I think we officially became friends in our fourth grade class that we were put in together with our teacher, Mr. Wormuth, and it has been history ever since.
Hi, this is Katrina. Yes, Hannah and I have been confirmed friends since fourth grade, which is about 10 years old, which doing the mental math of is like the better part of 2 decades, which is a wild thing to say when you are 27. But another moment of our friendship that I consider very important and impactful is when we consider the time that we became like truly best friends the way that we are now, which was really just after graduating high school when Hannah started her first year of college and I was in my gap year. And we became inexplicably closer, even though it was the first time we were physically apart from one another. This really set the tone for our super close but long distance friendship that we have to this very day.
Still doing the long distance, even now.
Even now.
Hoping for an eventual future where we're living on a vineyard and have chickens and are, you know, getting into all kinds of crazy stuff. So fingers crossed.
How do you keep the friendship going being so far from one another?
So actually, especially this past year, Hannah suggested establishing a monthly FaceTime catch up, which we have adhered to.
I think it's been 2 years.
I think it's been two years. I just was like a whole year. And then I was like, no, it's been longer than that. So we set a date that works for the both of us every month. We chat, let it just to keep up to date on the day to day or the month to month, really. But I found that that has encouraged me to be all the more quick to shoot off a quick text or drop a voice memo in between those catch ups. And then also putting in the effort to visit each other as often as possible, which is less frequent than either of us likes. But
yeah, and I think with the FaceTimes, what is really good is we found that through the years, even though we were still close, we were just doing so much catching up and we were, you know, getting caught up on life events and jobs and friendships, relationships, all of the above. So I think that that really gives us a chance to get dive into the deeper things and the deeper conversation. So rather than it being, you know, oh, what are you doing at your job now? I already know, you know, I know all the coworkers, mm-hmm. I know the bosses and vice versa, of course. So I think that it really allows us to dive in deeper and to get into the smaller little stories, the more day to day things that we feel that we miss sometimes when we're long distance. And I really will commend Katrina. And then also I think that I do it too, but in terms of the visits, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily packing our bags for an entire week and going away, you know, for a whole weekend or taking time off of work. I mean, there's been times where Katrina's taken a midnight train, literally going into Connecticut to visit me for my birthday, or, you know, I've been passing over and we've made tentative plans where, you know, we meet at the George Washington Bridge and we're going to do lunch for an hour. Sometimes they don't always work out, but I think that that effort and that extension of, you know, we're going to, even if it means seeing each other for an hour and going out of our way a significant amount to do so, that is so valuable, because I think it just shows that, you know, both of us have been able to put in the effort no matter how small that time might be or how long.
That's what I call dedication, meeting at the George Washington Bridge to see one another.
Yeah, we do it right on the bridge.
Yeah, she just pulls over and I just yank myself up into traffic and we're like, this is good. All of you should see it.
Oh my goodness. Name three qualities that you like about each other.
I'll go first. So one of my favorite qualities of Hannah's is her loyalty and, like, by extension, her dedication to things. I'm lucky enough to be on the receiving end of that loyalty and that dedication in our friendship, as we've been discussing. But it's also a quality that I get to observe in her, in the goals that she sets for herself in work, in other friendships, in other relationships, in like physical, emotional, and mental growth that she's looking to do. It's something that I get to observe and receive. And I find it incredibly inspiring to know that, like, I have never seen Hannah set up to do something and not see it through to the end to her utmost ability. And it makes me want to do the exact same thing every time. Another one of my absolute favorite qualities is how funny she is. And the fact that there's such an intelligence to her humor. So I'm cheating a little bit because those I'm counting as one. And just that, like, she can make me laugh and laugh and laugh. And so much of it is jokes that are from, you know, 10, 15 years ago, pulling things back in, linking one thing to another and just being so quippy and on top of things, but then also we drop something and we find it funny and, you know, not losing the brevity that is friendship. And then another one of my favorite qualities is her heart, and how much love there is in her heart and how much love there is to give and receive. And that, you know, even though we've seen each other through times of happy hearts and sad hearts, there's always still space in her heart, and that she doesn't close it off, even when it's maybe not at its happiest. She still has space for myself and others in her heart and willingly gives that space.
Wow, that's a beautiful depiction of Hannah. What about you, Hannah? What are your
thoughts about Katrina? Tough act to follow. Yeah. I think that the biggest one is definitely that I think Katrina just, I feel so seen and understood in the friendship. And I think that it's something that it's kind of hard to put into one word or one term, but I just think that it's someone that you, if you're lucky enough to have it in your life, that you're able to go to them with anything, like your rawest emotion, your angriest day, your most excitement, like you bragging on yourself and being able to be like, I did this thing, you know, like, let's celebrate this together. Like, knowing that that friendship is safe and protected and that you don't feel like you have to put on a performance. You don't feel like you have to, you know, make yourself smaller. Like, it's just such a, it's such an all-encompassing feeling of just safety that I feel like it's so hard to replicate. And I have many, many good friends in my life, but I think that it's, Katrina is someone that I just feel incredibly safe around. And I feel like I can be my 100% authentic self when we're together. And like she said, in terms of whether that's a stupid joke that makes no sense at all and we're just laughing over nothing, or if it's something that, you know, I'm having a horrible moment and I'm, you know, so angry and filled with rage and I just need somebody to be there and support me in that, I feel like I can be that in any way, shape or form. And I'm very grateful for that. I would say another one is that she's somebody that I want to share everything with. So whether that's really small moments or whether that's big moments, so whether that's, you know, a promotion or exciting update or anything, you know, there's just so much in life that you want to share. And it could be something very, very small too, where it's like, oh my gosh, you won't believe who I ran into, or, you know, you won't believe what thing just happened at work. And I know that that will be received with the same level of excitement or support or anger or whatever the emotion is that I'm looking for. And I know that I can just say anything and not get on her nerves, I hope, not get on her nerves, and be able to kind of just come to her with anything and know that it's going to be supported in any way, shape or form. And for the last one, I'll definitely also say humor. I think that it's just like, there's pretty much no one else in the world that I can laugh with to that extent and just be, you know, just have such a good time. I think that it's such a life-giving friendship in the sense that I'm able to, I'm not like, oh my goodness, you know, we have this lunch planned and I'm feeling really tired about it and I don't know how it's going to go and hopefully it doesn't run more than an hour or anything like that. It's someone that I know that I can literally spend days and days and days with. It's someone I can, you know, nap in their bed while they're doing laundry. Those kinds of things where I just feel that we can spend endless amounts of time together laughing and just being together and that we'll really never get sick of one another.
Oh, that's beautiful. Have you told one another some of these things before? Or is this the first time you're hearing them?
In different ways, I think. I can't say we've ever sat down and been like, hey, yeah, these are the top three things I love about you.
We should, though.
But it's a fun exercise. Yeah. But, you know, a huge part of our friendship over the years, especially as we've moved into adulthood and had to make big decisions that feel life altering and oftentimes are life altering, is encouragement. This is a really encouraging friendship. And I think a huge part of that comes with sort of observing some of these things in each other and like reminding each other that we see this in each other, even on the days where we maybe don't see it in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah, having to kind of hype each other up. Because I think each one of us sees this amazing, beautiful life full of potential for the other, mm-hmm. but it's hard to see that for yourself. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's great to have someone be like, I know this is going to work out for you, because mm-hmm. it's hard to see that in your own life, but it's so much easier to see it for the other person. And if that's what we need to be right now in our 20s, especially when things are really yeah. uncertain, it's really great to have.
Yeah, that's beautifully spoken for sure. Can you recall one or two very significant events that your friend has shared with you that is memorable and precious to you, like a specific event that occurred?
Yeah, I think in general, just the longevity. So kind of how you said with Sarah, like we have now been through high school graduation, college graduation together. Katrina came to my grad school graduation all the way in D.C., and also came to my college graduation in Virginia. We've been through a global pandemic together, where we pulled our study materials for school and we sat in a park together and just studied when the whole world was inside. Mm-hmm. And also, I think just in general, the best and worst moments of my life and everything in between. And I think one thing I really note, in addition to all those major life accomplishments, is just the routine things as well, like the family gatherings, you know, doing family game night at Katrina's house, or Katrina coming to our house and, you know, doing Thanksgiving, doing Christmas, wrapping gifts for our cats on Christmas Eve. You know, that's like not the kind of friend that you just, it's a once in a lifetime kind of friendship. And I think that it's reflected in those moments the most.
Yeah. In my little notes, I have Thanksgiving/winter holidays and graduations. Just because those are really specific ones that I can pull out, I especially think about my college graduation because I graduated in the spring of 2020, which means that I technically graduated in my hardware store break room alone on my break. Until Hannah came in with flowers and a card and like made the day the special thing that it was meant to be, and didn't let that celebration go without notice and without acknowledgement. And Thanksgivings are always really important to me because it truly started off as the only day that we could see each other between school breaks, and then it grew and grew over the years into a tradition. And it's really exciting to have a tradition with your friend that feels so monumental and feels almost, not even almost, that feels familial.
Yeah, it is familial.
So can you name one very difficult life-altering situation that were instrumental in helping one another through?
Who's going to talk about a breakup first?
We probably only have 3.5 minutes to narrow down to the most important one.
I mean, I'll just say, I think that we have both experienced mass amounts of grief at the hands of other people. And I think that being there in whatever way that means is, whether that's throwing things across the room, ripping things, deleting things. I think that it's just, I'll speak for Katrina, having her be the resource and the thing that I needed in that moment. I might not need somebody to coddle me or to hug me, though that, you know, was an option too. But I think having somebody that is like, what do I need to do? Like, what can I offer you in this moment? Whether that's being on the phone, like, whether that's all the things I mentioned before, I think it's just filling in the space. It's like, where's that void? What can I do? How can I show up? Because you already are certain that person will be there. And it's not anything that they really say. It's just the being there. I think that's made the most of the impact. Do you agree?
I completely agree. Yeah, I think it's also in those times of grief, Hannah and I both have the tendency to blame ourselves and to see ourselves as lesser in love. And I know that we both put so much emphasis on how important the love between us is and how we see the love that we put out into the world. in each other, and that that is like also that filling that space, especially when it comes to the grief of love and the, you know, the ending of a relationship or the deterioration of any kind of romantic or otherwise relationship.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, I know we're running out of time, but I want to just wrap up with a couple of quotes. I hope that you were inspired by what you've heard today, because this definitely is a unique and special friendship that my prayer is that you all are able to experience at some point in your lives. Just to give a couple of quotes, Helen Keller said, "Walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light." Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "The ornament of a house is the friends who frequent it." True friends visit us in prosperity only when invited, but in adversity, they come without invitation. Friends are those rare people who ask how we are and then wait to hear the answer. That's Ed Cunningham. And my quote is that sometimes one goes blind in their place of vulnerability, and then they shall require a seeing-eyed friend. And that's what they are to one another, a seeing-eyed friend. And so thank you so much, Hannah and Katrina, for being on this episode, and many blessings upon your friendships.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.